It's time. It's time. I know we, I didn't know when we started studying Joshua a couple weeks ago that the commissioning of Joshua would coincide with the commissioning of Anna Rosati and Tom and Candace and their family. But I'm excited about that. It just reminds me that there's a much bigger plan going on than what I have in mind or any of us have in mind, that God has a way of leading us and guiding us to the things that we need to do, the things that we need to hear. And so I'm excited for God's providence in bringing us together to this point to look into His Word, specifically when we're sending some people out into the field to Thailand. And so we're going to be looking in the book of Joshua this morning. I had all of the verses put in Media Shout this morning, and then we got a power glitch, and I didn't save it, and they all disappeared. And so we're going to use our Bibles, okay? So open your Bible if you have one. There's some in the back on the table. If you don't have one, share with your neighbor if they don't have one. But we're going to be looking primarily at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and of course, I want to start with the first two verses here in the book of Joshua. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. And so that's why I said, get ready. It's exactly what God tells Joshua here. He says, get ready. Now is the time. Get ready. It's time for the Israelites to receive the promise that had been given to their father Abraham over 450 years earlier. And I don't know about you, but I can't think back even like 50 years. 450 years seems like a long time, but this promise was given to Abraham 450 years earlier, and now is the time to enter the land. It's time for Joshua to lead as well. And so God says, get ready. And my question is, we've been looking at the life of Joshua, and I'm wondering, do you suppose he was ready to lead? Do you suppose he was ready for this moment to lead this huge group of people? He was prepared, right? We know that. We studied about that. He worked with Moses. He was mentored by Moses. He was Moses' right-hand man. He was trained and given responsibility. 40 years earlier, the Israelites had miserably failed to enter the Promised Land because they simply did not believe in God. That entire generation died in the wilderness because of their lack of faith, except for two people, Joshua and Caleb, who had the faith to say, no, let's go into the land, the Lord will give it to us. So Joshua was prepared. He had come through some difficult times. He had worked under Moses. And so we know he was prepared. He had been faithful. We talked about it. Faithful over many years. And he had to have been looking for a home, wouldn't you think? All of the Israelites, wouldn't you think, would be looking for a home. They've been wandering in the desert. And before that, they were slaves in Egypt. And so they had to have been thinking, we are ready for a home. After hearing the promises and the planning and the leading, all of these things looking forward to this time when they would finally enter this promised land, this home that God had promised for them. And so in many ways, I think Joshua was ready. He had put himself in the position to be ready. And yet, here they are on the border of Canaan, and now is the time. How many of us have been ready? We've gotten ready for maybe some important event or something coming up. And then when it comes right down to it, when it's time to do it, I don't know about you, but often I'm just shaking in my boots, even though I've prepared and I'm ready and I know it's time. So I have to think that that's probably where we find Joshua in some ways. God puts it kind of rough here. He says, Moses is dead. Okay? So he's no longer available. Moses is dead. So this was Joshua's mentor for many years, right? Joshua's leader. Joshua's advisor. Joshua's probably his spiritual father, as well as many of the Israelites, and he's dead. And so you're up. It's your turn, Joshua. I'm wondering for you, how would you like to step in after Moses? How would you like to step into leadership after Moses? Look over in verses 10 to 12. Actually, I think I have the wrong reference on mine. I believe it's Deuteronomy, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 10 to 12. It says this about Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. How would you like to follow that? That's a tough act to follow. And here God says, Moses is dead, and it's your turn. You're up. I had to think for us, are we ready? Are you ready? We're privileged this morning to celebrate that Anna and Tom and Candace and their family are ready. They're ready. Anna is already in Thailand. She's just back for a short visit. Tom and Candace have been here for 2 years, and they're going back. There's a date, July 11th. They fly out back to Thailand. It's time. It's time. And they're ready, but on the other hand, I know that there's a lot of things that they're thinking through as they get ready to go back. And last Sunday, we talked about fear. Fear or versus faith. And I know that there are fears that go along with going back to Thailand. It's encouraging for me to see people who are ready. I don't know anything more encouraging than to see people step up and say, I'm ready, I'm going to do this. It's so encouraging to me. And conversely, probably one of the saddest things and the hardest things for me to see in the church at large is people who have been taught, who have been trained, who have grown up in church, they've been equipped, they've been prepared, and yet when it comes down to the moment when God says, I want you to do this, they aren't ready. That's one of the most discouraging things, I think, for me to see, for us to see, is people who aren't ready. It's a very sad thing. People that know all about sharing the gospel with people, but they never do. They know all about it, studied it, talked about it, heard sermons about it. Or people who maybe put the promise ring on their finger about purity, but when it comes down to it, they give themselves away just like the rest of society does. Or they know all about seeking first the kingdom of God, and they hear the sermons, they preached about that, and yet still, day after day, they continue to seek first their own kingdom. They aren't ready. When God says, you're up, they either don't even notice or always have a reason why someone else should do it. And so I'm always encouraged with days like today to celebrate with people who are ready. People who are ready to go to wherever it is that God has called them to. And so along with them, I'd like you to think, are you ready? Are you ready today? God has things today for us to do. This very day, he has things for us to do. Are you ready for those things? He has things this coming week that he wants you to do, that he wants you to respond to his spirit and do, to respond to his word and do. Are you ready for that? Or next year, he has things that he's preparing for you in advance next year that he's going to ask you to do. Are you going to be ready to do that? And in the case of Joshua, I have to think, in 40 years, think about it. They wandered around the desert for 40 years until it was his time to lead. Are you going to be ready in 40 years for whatever it is, that thing that God has called you to do? At that point in time, will you be ready to do it? God told Joshua, Moses is dead. You're up. Get ready and get the people ready. Let's pick up in verse 3. Of chapter 1 of Joshua. He said, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. So my first point was be ready. My second point is be strong and courageous in whatever it is that God has called you or will call you to do. Be strong and courageous. We see this phrase used 8 times with Joshua. If you look through Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua, 8 different times, we see Joshua being told, be strong and courageous. Now, why do you suppose he was told that 8 different times? Well, I have a thought about that. I think whenever you tell people those things and you need to tell them 8 times, it's probably because he was a little afraid. It's my guess that Joshua was really, when it came down to it, he was afraid. It doesn't say that here, but I don't know any other reason why you would need to tell somebody this 8 different times to be strong and courageous. I think he was afraid. God tells him twice here, and then once more in verse 9, and once in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23, he tells them to be strong and courageous. Moses tells him 2 times in Deuteronomy 31. I'll read verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And again in verse 7, Moses says, be strong and courageous. And then all of the people in Joshua chapter 1, verse 18, tell Joshua the same thing. Be strong and courageous. All of the Israelites tell him that. He needed encouragement. I think he was afraid. I think he was probably terrified at moments about the idea of stepping in and taking this position that Moses had held to lead these people. And so it's interesting to me that we see God himself encouraging him, we see Moses encouraging him, and we see the people encouraging him to be strong and courageous. Who wouldn't be afraid to do this? You think it's challenging to lead your family, to handle maybe a classroom of kids, to handle some employees, but over 1 million people, to give direction to them, to be responsible in some way for them, to make decisions that impact all of them, to make good decisions, to march into a land of hostility with all these people. I don't know any one of us that wouldn't be afraid of that responsibility. To follow in the footsteps of the greatest leader maybe of all time, Moses. You don't have to tell these kinds of things to people who aren't struggling with them. But back to the people who really aren't doing anything. You know, I think sometimes that they think that it's just easy for others to respond to God's call. And maybe we think that. It's just easy for others to step up and preach, or it's easy for others to lead in worship, or it's easy for others to take off and go to another country because they like other countries and like the different ethnic foods and different things like that. I think that's an easy thing to kind of fall into, to think that it's just easy for everybody else to step out in faith and follow God's call. Well, it's easy for them. But for me, you know what? For me, it's hard. I couldn't do that. It's hard. I got all these things that I would have to figure out. There's no way that I could do that. But for them, yeah, no problem. It's not that way. It's hard for all of us. It is hard for all of us to step out in faith. Wherever it is that God has called us, it is hard. And we need to give each other some grace in that. To understand that every single one of us who are stepping out in faith, that it is hard to do that. And that's why we need encouragement from one another. That's why we need other people saying, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. God said to Joshua, I will give you every place you set your foot. No one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Moses said to Joshua, the Lord goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God calls all of us, I believe, to terrifying situations. And back to last Sunday's message, will you respond with fear or will you respond with faith to his calling? God is commissioning Joshua. He's sending him to do a task that he's prepared for him to do. And he's not sending him alone. He says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord thy God is with you. He will never leave you. It reminds us of the great commission that Jesus has given to all of us. The Great Commission. Matthew 28. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. For Tom and Candace, for Anna, for all of us, we have been commissioned by God to do really scary things. But God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is always with us, always. It reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That is where our confidence is. We can have confidence even when things look tremendously scary and we have to admit that we are somewhat terrified. It does not mean we can't have confidence. We can have confidence in him who will carry out that work in us to completion until the day of Christ Jesus when he returns. And so be strong and courageous. Be rooted and grounded in the word. Let's pick up in verse 7, the last half of verse 7. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. then you will be prosperous and successful. Stand on the word of God. There is no other truth. There is no other way. There is no other good news. The law was given to Moses face to face and was the beginning of God's revelation to mankind. Jesus was the fulfillment and completion of that beginning revelation. And of course, we have his teachings in the New Testament. But there can be no success outside of the truth of God's word. There could be many things that have the markings of success and prosperity, but outside of God's word, they are not successful. There can be no success outside of God's word, standing firm on the word of God. And I love how God tells Joshua to stand true to the law here. And we're talking about the word of God. He says, don't stray to the left. He says, don't step off to the right, but stay right on track. Sometimes we think, you know, we don't know what God's will is, what it is that he's calling us to, what he's asking us to do. And I hear that sometimes from people. I don't know what God wants me to do. And I have to think, you know, there's a lot here about what God wants us to do, isn't there? There's a lot here. It says things like, stop lusting after women. It says here to love your wife as Christ loved the church. It says here to guard your speech. It says here to go and make disciples. It says here to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Is that enough? We could go on. We know what God wants us to do. We know. And we know more and more by staying in the Word of God. And so he tells Joshua, he says, do not let this book depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Do not let it depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. We need to be, whatever it is that we're doing for God, we need to be rooted and grounded in the Word. Success in the kingdom of God looks very different than in the world. Success is faithfully standing on the Word of God and holding out this Word of life to a crooked and depraved world, as Paul describes in his letter to the Philippians. That is what success is. That is prosperity. That may not look like success or prosperity to the world. And even in the church, sometimes we labor in very difficult situations, very difficult places, where we look around and we say, I just don't see much success in what I'm doing. God, is it making a difference? But here we see clearly that success is just faithfully standing on the Word of God and proclaiming it to others. If you do that, you will be successful. No matter how it looks, you will be successful. And so stand on the Word of God. Be rooted and grounded in the Word. And my last point this morning is to be a partner in the work. We all need a group of people around us who will support us and encourage us in our calling. Those who believe in our work, believe in the work that we're called to, and those who are our partners in the work. And both of those are so important. Like I said earlier, the people, when we see others step up and take responsibility and step out in faith, it is so encouraging to us who are doing the same. When we see somebody else doing that, and then when you get together with those people and you compare notes and you talk about the struggles that you've had and the discouragement that you've had and the excitement about the things that have been exciting to see how God's working in people's lives, those are such encouraging times when we do that with one another. But that only happens when we're both partnering in the work. When one person is excited about that and the other person over here is not really engaged or involved, there's really not a whole lot of encouragement that happens there. And so encouragement from others happens from support that we give, encouraging each other in the calling, telling each other be strong and courageous, but also walking side by side, wherever it is, whether we're separated by thousands of miles or only by a few country miles. To be a partner in the work. And in the case of Joshua, we see a wonderful handoff from Moses, the more experienced leader, to Joshua. It's such a beautiful transition for which Moses is largely responsible for. I want to read in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, verse 9. It says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." And so Moses, in the sight of all the Israelites, said, "Here's your man. Here's your leader. Follow him." So Moses was a great encourager. He was one of the ones that told Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." And we see Joshua clearly accept the task and boldly lead the Israelites. He leads with confidence in the one who called and commissioned him. We look in Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. "So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, 'Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take the possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own.'" Joshua takes it. He says, "We're going in. 3 days, get ready." That's not much time for a million people to get ready. It doesn't seem like a lot of time. He was on it. 3 days, we're going in. And he repeats the promise that God had given. "We're going to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own." Now that is leading by faith, isn't it? Not by fear, but by faith. We are going to do this because God said it will happen. That's leadership. And what is the people's response? Verse 16. "Then they answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so will we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, we will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" Part of that sounds a little extreme, but they were with him. They supported him in his calling. They stood with him. Moses did. The people stood with him, encouraging him and cooperating with his leadership. They respond to his leadership, his step of faith. They respond with faith. Faith is contagious. And they saw Joshua's faith and they responded in like the same way. "Let's go. Let's do it. You can do it, Joshua. We have confidence in you." It takes a team. We all need someone supporting us, encouraging us, and partnering with us. Every single one of us needs that team around us in the work that God has called us. And my hope and my prayer is that our church is that for one another. That wherever God calls us to, that we are encouraging one another in that. That we are standing with them. And that we are partnering with them in the same work. And we're saying to one another, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you." It takes a team.